Day 72 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let's return to the Hebrew Bible, reading Judges 3 to 5. Nations remaining in the land. Now these are the nations that the Lord left to test all those in Israel who had no experience of war in Canaan. It was only for successive generations of Israelites to teach war to those who had no experience of it. The five lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites who lived on Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon as far as Lebo Hamath. They were for the testing of Israel to know whether Israel would obey the commandments of the Lord that he commanded their ancestors by Moses. So the Israelites lived among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters as wives for themselves, and their own daughters they gave to their sons, and they served their gods. Othniel. The Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, forgetting the Lord their God and serving the Baals and the Asherahs. Therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of King Cushan-Rishathaim of Aram-Naharaim, and the Israelites served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. But when the Israelites cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the Israelites who delivered them, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord gave King Cushan-Rishathaim of Aram into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim, so the land had rest 40 years. Then Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. Ehud. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened King Eglon of Moab against Israel, because they had done what was evil in the sight of the Lord. An alliance with the Ammonites and the Amalekites, he went and defeated Israel and took possession of the city of palms. So the Israelites served King Eglon on Moab 18 years. And when the Israelites cried out to the Lord raised up for them a deliverer, Ehud, son of Gera, a Benjaminite, a left-handed man. The Israelites sent tribute by him to King Eglon of Moab. Ehud made for himself a sword with two edges, a cubit in length, fastened it on his right thigh under his clothes. Then he presented the tribute of King Eglon of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man. When Ehud had finished presenting the tribute, he sent the people who carried the tribute on their way. But he himself turned back at the sculptured stones near Gilgal and said, "I have a secret message for you, O king." So the king said, "Silence," and all his attendants went out from his presence. Ehud came to him while he was sitting alone in his cool roof chamber and said, "I have a message from God for you." So he rose from his seat. Then Ehud reached with his left hand, took the sword from his right thigh, and thrust it into Eglon's belly. The hilt also went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade, for he did not draw the sword out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Then Ehud went into the vestibule and closed the doors of the roof chamber on him and locked them. After he had gone, the servants came. When they saw that the doors of the roof chamber were locked, they thought he must be relieving himself in the cool chamber. So they waited until they were embarrassed. When he did not open the door of the roof chamber, they took the key and opened them. There was their Lord lying dead on the floor. Ehud escaped while they delayed and passed beyond the sculptured stones and escaped to Sisera. When he arrived, he sounded the trumpet in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went down with him from the hill country, having him at their head. He said to them, "Follow after me, for the Lord has given your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand." So they went down after him and seized the fords of the Jordan against the Moabites and allowed no one to cross over. At that time, they killed about 10,000 of the Moabites, all strong and able-bodied men, No one escaped. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. Shamgar. After him came Shamgar, son of Anath, who killed 600 of the Philistines with an ox goad. He too delivered Israel. Deborah and Barak. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. So the Lord sold them into the hand of King Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor, and commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosha Hagoyim. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly 20 years. At that time, Deborah, a prophet, wife of Lippidoth, was judging Israel. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh into Naphtali, and said to them, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, position yourself at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and the tribe of Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera and the general of Jabin's armies to meet you by the Wadi Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go, but if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman." Then Deborah got up and went with Barak to Kadesh. Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and 10,000 warriors went up behind him, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite had separated from the other Kenites, that is, the descendants of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, and had encamped as far away as Elon Bezanonim, which is near Kadesh. Then when Sisera was told that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera called out all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the troops who were with him, from Harosheth Hagoyim to the Wadi Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day on which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" So Barak went down from the Mount Tabor with 10,000 warriors following him. And the Lord threw Sisera and all his chariots and all his army into a panic before Barak. Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot, while Barak pursued the chariots and the army to Harosheth Hagoyim. All the army of Sisera fell by the sword, not one was left. Now Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was a peace between King Jabin of Hazor and the clan of Heber the Kenite. Jael came out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, have no fear." So he had turned aside to her in the tent, and she covered him with a rug. Then he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. He said to her, "Stand at the entrance of the tent, and if anyone comes and asks you, 'Is anyone here?' say no." But Jael, wife of Heber, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple until it went down into the ground. He was lying fast asleep from weariness, and he died. Then, as Barak came in pursuit of Sisera, Jael went out to meet him and said to him, "Come, and I will show you the man whom you are seeking." So he went into her tent, and there lay Sisera lying dead with a tent peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued King Jabin of Canaan before the Israelites. Then the hand of the Israelites bore harder and harder on King Jabin of Canaan until they destroyed King Jabin of Canaan. The Song of Deborah. Then Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang on that day, "When locks are long in Israel, when the people offer themselves willingly, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, to the Lord I will sing. I will make melody to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the region of Edom, on earth trembled and the heavens poured, the clouds indeed poured water, the mountains quaked before the Lord, the one of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, caravans ceased, and the travelers kept to the byways. The peasantry proposed in Israel. They grew fat on plunder because you arose, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel, when new gods were chosen, when war was in the gates, when shield or spear to be seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart goes out to the commanders of Israel who offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless the Lord. Sing of it, you who ride on white donkeys, who sit on rich carpets, and who walk by the way, to the sound of musicians at the watering places where they repeat the triumphs of the Lord, the triumphs of his peasantry in Israel. Then down to the gates march the people of the Lord. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, lead away your captives, O son of Obinom. Then down march the remnants of the nobles, the people of the Lord march down for him against the mighty. From Ephraim they set out into the valley, following you, Benjamin, with your kin. From Machir march down the commanders, and from Zebulun those who bear the marshal's staff. The chiefs of Issachar came with Deborah, and Issachar faithful to Barak. Into the valley they rushed out at his heels. Among the clans of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Why did you tarry among the sheepfolds to hear the piping for the flocks? Among the clans of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan, and Dan, why did he abide with the ships? Asher sat still at the coast of the sea, settling down by his lands. Zebulun is a people that scorned death. Naphtali, too, on the heights of the field. The kings came, they fought, then they fought the kings of Canaan at Taanach by the waters of the Megiddo. They had no spoils of silver. The stars fought from heaven. From their courses, they fought against Sisera. The torrent Kishon swept them away, the onrushing torrent, the torrent Kishon, march on my soul with might. Then loud beat the horse's hooves with the galloping, galloping of his steeds. Curse Meroz, says the angel of the Lord, curse bitterly its inhabitants, because they did not come to help the Lord against the mighty. Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Of tent-dwelling women, most blessed. Water he asked, milk she gave. She brought him curds in a lordly bowl. She put her hand to the tent peg and her right hand to the worker's mallet, and she struck Sisera a blow. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. Between her feet he sank, he fell, he lay still. Between her feet he sank, he fell. Where he sank, there he fell dead. Out of the window she peered. The mother of Sisera gazed through the lattice. Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the hoofbeats of his chariots? Her wisest ladies made answer. Indeed, she answers the question herself. Are they not finding and dividing the spoil? A woman or two for every man. Spoil of dyads stuffed for Sisera. Spoils of dyads stuffed embroidered. Two pieces of dyed work embroidered for my neck as spoils, so perish all your enemies, O Lord. But may your friends be like the sun as it rises in its might, and the land had rest 40 years. As you listen to these chapters, what do you notice? The book of Judges is tragic literature. These are not stories that inspire. The characters are not modeling a way of life to aspire. We are beginning to read stories of people who have lost their way and have not lived up to the will of God. What perspective might be most helpful as we read through these narratives? Now let's move to Hebrews 3-5. Moses a servant, Christ a son. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, partners in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession, who is faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. Yet Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses, just as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that would be spoken later. Christ, however, was faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if we hold firm the boldness and the pride inspired by hope. Warning against unbelief. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as on the days of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors put me to the test, though they had not seen my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, and I said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. As in my anger, I swore, they will not enter my rest. Take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you may have an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partners of Christ, if only we hold our first confidence firm in it to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Now, who we are who heard and rebelled, was it not all those who left Egypt under the leadership of Moses? And with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, if not to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. The rest that God promised. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest is still open, let us take care that none of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For indeed, the good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we have believed our entering that rest just as God has said, as in my anger I swore, they shall not enter my rest. Though his works were finished since the foundation of the world, for somewhere it speaks about the seventh day as follows. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place it says, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains open for some to enter it, and those who formerly received it, the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. Again, he sets a certain day today, saying through David much later in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not speak later about another day. So then a Sabbath rest still remains for the people of God, for those who enter God's rest also rest from their labors, as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one may fall through such disobedience as theirs. Indeed, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one whom we must render an account. Jesus, the great high priest. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness, and because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obeyed him. Having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, warning against falling away. About this, we have much to say that is hard to explain since you have become sluggish in hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic elements of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? We are warned against unbelief. In many ways, this corresponds to what we are reading in Judges, the consequences of unbelief. The generation of Israelites wandering in the wilderness is referenced with the statement that they were not allowed to enter into God's rest due to their disbelief. How might the description of the promised land, a renewing of Eden, be understood as rest? How might this impact how we think about God's will for us and how we look at time and productivity? Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father, who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come and may your will be done as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.
Thank you.